Anyway, I want to say good morning to everybody, whether you're watching via the stream or you're right here with us sitting here in the sanctuary. Either way, I'm glad that you're here. We're going to start a new series today, and it is entitled Breaking Strongholds. Say, Breaking Strongholds. And this morning, the first installment of the series is called Protection or Prison. Okay? It's a question. Protection or prison. My disclaimer, because I always got to get one of these in, okay? My disclaimer for this morning is this, all right? I never want to give you too much information at one time, right? Because no one can process too much information. So if I or when I stop in what seems like a place where the message really doesn't feel finished, it's because the Holy Spirit says enough. Okay? All right, so just know that, and just remember that. When the Holy Spirit says to stop, I absolutely will stop. All right? Amen? All right, let's stand together, and we will make our Bible declaration this morning. This morning, say it like you believe it, okay? Just shout it out. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, I'm glad you three people are. Are the rest of you ready?
Ready.
I knew it. Okay. Say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. And that's what I pray for you every Sunday, okay? I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Or amen and amen. You can be seated. I would like to begin today by giving you the definition of what a stronghold is in the natural, okay? A stronghold is a well-fortified place or a well-fortified fortress. The spiritual definition is this. A stronghold is a fortress of lies that the enemy builds in your mind and emotions from which he can wage warfare and call the shots in your life. All right? I'll say that again. A stronghold is a fortress of lies that the enemy builds in your mind and emotions from which he can wage warfare and call the shots in your life. Francis Frangipane says this, a stronghold is a household of thoughts built by the devil and guarded by demons. To break it down even further, a stronghold is a place of captivity, it's a place of confinement, it's a place of imprisonment or incarceration that is in your mind or in your thinking that prevents you from experiencing all that God has planned for you and your life. It's almost like a roadblock. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. Gary Timmer, would you come up and pray? I got him again. Just a right in the way, man. Pray for the message and we'll believe for God's touch.
How many of you really want that touch today?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody? Hopefully everybody?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. I know I do. Father, we are so, God, so grateful that we can be here today, Lord, to be in your presence. Father, to be together, to be in each other's presence, Father, as a family. Lord, as Pastor Wes preaches your word today, God, I pray, Lord, that we will listen, Lord, and that we will take it in, God, and that we will leave here being doers of your word, doers of the word. Father, I pray that you would just touch each one of us today, God, as we touch you. Father, have your way in each one of us, in Jesus' name. The whole church said, amen.
Amen. I like that, you know that? That's good. I won't mention that my daughter did that, but she did that. Anyway, since the beginning of time, societies have built walls around their cities to serve as barriers of protection. And they do that because they don't want the enemy forces that could attack and take their cities to come in. Amen? In the Old Testament, the city of Jericho is a good example of a walled city, and so is the city of Jerusalem. In most cases, the walls were built, or the walls that were built, were high and thick and virtually impenetrable. Some walls were so wide that they could run chariot races side by side on top of the walls. Now, that's pretty wide. But what's so interesting is that the same walls that were built to keep out an enemy invasion also served as walls to imprison those who were inside. And as it is in most cases, what is true in the natural realm bleeds over into the spiritual realm, okay? A stronghold can either protect us or imprison us, all right? It can either protect us or imprison us. Now, Francis Frangipane also says, a stronghold can be a source of protection for us from the devil, as is the case when the Lord becomes our stronghold or our fortress or our high tower. Or conversely, a stronghold can be a source of defense for the devil, where demonic or sinful activity is actually defended within us by, now hear this, by our sympathetic thoughts towards evil. Oh, look out here. I'm going to start messing with you right away, okay? That's how we let the enemy in, because we have some sympathetic thoughts towards evil. And somebody said, you know, it doesn't matter what you think about. It matters what you think about. But as Christians, and you know this to be true, we fight a very real enemy, and his name is Satan, amen, or the devil, okay? He also has been labeled as the enemy of our souls, and he's always, say always, the devil is always seeking an opportunity to gain entrance into our lives, and his ultimate goal in gaining that access is to build a stronghold from where he can be protected and still call the shots. It's kind of scary, isn't it, that he can build a stronghold inside us, and from the inside of us, he can call the shots? That actually the thing that's protecting him in there is our thought life? But the good news, all right, is that we don't have to receive what the enemy tries to push on us, amen? And we don't have to be imprisoned by the lies that he uses to build those strongholds. Why? Because we can learn how to recognize a stronghold building process, if you will, and pull them down with the spiritual weapons that God has given to you and I. Which leads us to the question, what does the Bible say about strongholds? All right, the classical biblical text on the subject of strongholds is found in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, where it says this, and you can turn there if you like, because we're going to spend some time in there. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. A lot of us have to remember that when you're going through a struggle. You're never going to win the struggle in the flesh. Amen? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments or imaginations. It depends on what version you're reading. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, and this is the hard part for you and I, we have to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen? Amen. Verse 4 again, and let me just say this. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? They are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The Greek word for strongholds that's used here is the word akuruma, okay? And it describes a fortress or a castle or a citadel. I think we've all seen what that would probably look like. You can see what it looks like by that back there, the background. The word gives us the picture of a building whose walls are fortified to keep outsiders where they belong, and that is on the outside. At the same time, And we have to realize this, it can depict a dreadful prison that's constructed deep inside of a fortress that was intentionally built to prevent a hostage or a prisoner from escaping. So again, all right, again, a stronghold is a place of captivity and confinement, of imprisonment and incarceration, excuse me, that is in your mind or in your thinking. that prevents you from experiencing all that God has planned for your life. God has many things planned for your life if you will just yield to Him. Amen? He's got a good plan for your life that gives you a future and a hope. Amen? Amen. You know what stops that from happening? Strongholds. Strongholds will stop that from happening. The problem that you and I have is this. The enemy is very strategic and very persistent, if you will, in his efforts to build those strongholds in your life. And let me just say this. I've said it 100 times probably, but I don't like preaching about the devil. But, you know, there are times we got to know who our enemy is. And in gaining that knowledge, we don't give him any glory, but we fight against him and we win against him and we give God the glory. Amen? Amen. But the problem that you and I have is this, okay? He's so persistent. Little by little, he'll stealthily present you with a lie here and a little deception there, again and again and again, repeatedly, over and over again. He just chips away at you, and he just chips away at me. And each lie we believe and each lie that we receive becomes just another brick in the wall of the stronghold he's attempting to build in our lives. Although you can't see it and you can't touch the imaginary prison bars, believe me, they're there, holding you hostage to the ideas and the imaginations that have no basis in reality, except that he has planted them in your mind a small piece at a time. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? Yeah. Let me ask you this, okay? Are there any areas in your mind and in your emotions right now that are currently being influenced or controlled by the enemy's lies of fear, doubt, and worry? Is there anything in your mind? Is anything going on with fear, doubt, and worry? And do you find yourself repeatedly being attacked in the same areas? The same areas. No matter how hard or how long you fight, it's the same thing again and again and again. And do you feel like a prisoner? A prisoner that's held hostage to fear, doubt, or worry. Those are three of the biggest tools of our enemy. Amen? To get you in fear, to make you doubt, okay? And to make you worry about things. See, if your answer is yes to any of these questions that I just asked, then what's happened is you've probably allowed the enemy to begin to build a stronghold in your mind and your emotions. And that stronghold, and please hear me, that stronghold is designed to hinder you from stepping out and fulfilling God's call on your life. One of the biggest areas that Satan attempts to build strongholds is in our self-image, okay? Now, I'm not talking about some new agey thing, but, you know, you have to view things right. Am I right? You know, because I happen to know that I can do all things. This is not a prideful statement. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. That I am more than a conqueror, all right? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And one of the biggest areas is in our self-image. Because there are times when we have thoughts and we have feelings of inferiority that keep swirling around in our mind. And the enemy begins to tell you things like, you are just one stupid man. Or one, okay? I mean, how dumb can any person get? You knew better than that, but you did it anyway. What an idiot. What an idiot. And again, and again. Has anybody ever had that happen? Come on. Again and again and again, the enemy fires his lies at your mind and your emotions, you know, just seemingly at every angle. Everywhere you turn, you're hearing the same thing. And he strategically uses regular people or people in authority that really matter in your life to hammer home his messages of deception. You know, I don't care how spiritual you are, and I don't care how unspiritual you are. At one time or another time, you have been used by the enemy. Come on. You have been used by the enemy. But he hammers home his messages of deception. And more, you know, little by little, you begin believing that voice in your head until your self-image is all but destroyed. And the next thing you know, those lies from the devil are coming out your mouth in your self-talk. And they sound something like this: I am so stupid. Jeez, what's wrong with me? I am just so dumb. I mean, can anybody be that big of an idiot? I can't. Amen? And all of a sudden, these lies that he keeps feeding to you, you know, God doesn't make junk. Are you with me? Amen? Okay, and if I lack wisdom, all I have to do is ask of God, and the Bible says you will get it. All right? But now the enemy has started to build the foundation for his stronghold. And you wonder, what did he just do? What did he just do by saying I'm stupid, I'm dumb, by making it me who owns that and says that? He built a stronghold, all right, with walls that are made up of his lies. And from that stronghold of protection that he has built for himself, that's not for you, it's for himself, he manipulates your self-image until your self-image becomes self-talk, and then you believe his lies. Wholeheartedly you believe his lies. Now, I just want to check one more time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here this morning? Amen? Let me tell you, one of the men whom I hold the deepest respect for in this world, just the deepest respect, took it upon himself to tell me that I would never, say never, I would never be able to be a pastor of a church. Never be able to do it. Well, probably the good thing was that that statement made me push harder than anything. Amen. But it could have had the opposite effect. Amen? It could have, you know, it could have made me begin to say, well, I can't do it anyway. Well, I guess it's not for me. I guess I didn't hear God. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. Never let your self-talk reflect a poor self-image. Right, amen? And I'm telling you, your words are important. Amen? The enemy rejoices in the construction or even the resurrection of any and all strongholds that are in your life. Because if he can get you to believe his lies, you will never, say never, you will never experience your God-given divine destiny. And I don't know about you, but I want to do that. If God has a good plan for me, and I think I'm right in the middle of God's good plan for me, but whatever it is and whatever that looks like in the future, that's where I want to be. Amen? I don't want the lies of the enemy in any way to keep me from becoming more and more that God would have me to be. Amen? Amen. You know, why would Satan do that? Why would that matter to him? Because if you don't live out your God-given destiny, you are no threat to his domain of darkness. You're no threat. But the good news is, with God's help, amen, with God's help and with God's armor, we can pull down the satanic strongholds in our lives. Right. You know, I almost don't like to say this, but I'm going to. Make no mistake, okay? The devil wants to take you out before you can do anything significant for God. And although he isn't all-knowing, he is well aware. Come on, people. And although he isn't all-knowing, he doesn't know everything and what's coming and all of those things, you know, but he is aware that God has a good plan for your life and that God wants to use you to advance his kingdom. Why should that bother the enemy so much? You're just one person. Well, it's just this. Because when the kingdom of God advances, the kingdom of darkness declines. Praise God. Amen? And when you live out your divine destiny, he gets to live out his demonic defeat. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And as we've already said, thankfully, you and I don't have to live incarcerated within his prison. You can break free. How? By using what God has given you. Amen? Again, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The words pulling down in the Greek are kathedro, okay, which means to take down or to dissemble. And if needed, to do it bit by bit or piece by piece. Do you get that? This word can also be translated as to demolish or to destroy and dismantle or to throw down. The meaning carries such force, okay, in the Greek. It carries such force that includes the idea to knock down or to break up or to pull apart until nothing is left. And that's what we should do with the strongholds of the enemy. We tear them down until there is nothing left. Amen? Because if there's a little bit left, he can build on that little bit. Amen? That's why it's so important that you believe the Word of God. And whatever the Word of God promises, he promises to you. You haven't sinned too much. You haven't gone too far. Amen? Amen. But this word is used to picture pulling down the walls of a well-defended fortress. Understand that when you dismantle a house brick by brick, it can take a really long time to get the job done, and it can be very tedious, and it seems like it takes forever. But if you faithfully keep swinging your hammer, amen, you will eventually dismantle it. And I want you to know this morning, if you will just faithfully stand on God's word, that stronghold will come down. Amen. It may take a long time. You know what I mean? It may take so much time, but that same commitment and persistence is needed for pulling down Satan's stronghold in your life, that you're going to be doing it brick by brick. But you got to know something here, okay? Your strongholds, the strongholds that are in your life, they didn't get built overnight. Amen? And so they quite probably won't be destroyed overnight. I mean, we want deliverance. We want to be set free, and God is well able to do that. But there's something that we can get into learning here as a stronghold gets pulled down in our life that God allows us to experience. But we have to make up our minds, okay? It can't be one way one day and one day another. We have to make up our minds that we're going to knock them down, break them up, and tear them apart bit by bit if needed until no stronghold is left standing in your life. Amen. Glory to God. I don't know. Sometimes I think that's going to take your whole life. Amen? Because in my life, it seems when I get one stronghold tore down, there's another stronghold that I got to tear down. And so I'm just going to keep tearing them down. I'm going to have the patience, and I'm going to take them down bit by bit, piece by piece. And on the other side of it, he can look at his demonic defeat, and I can give God the glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me say this again, okay? You know that the key to learning is repetition. That's why I repeat myself. Little by little, okay, little by little, over an extended period of time, the enemy deceives people into accepting his lies about themselves, about God, and about life in general. And as a result, he establishes these strongholds in their thinking, from which he begins to exert his influence and control over their lives from his protected position. Why is the stronghold protected? Because you believe it. Because you believe it. But anyway, from that protected position that he has built. According to Ephesians 6, 13 through 18, we have been given 7 spiritual weapons and more with prayer with which to defeat the enemy and tear down his demonic attacks. And I'm just going to read that to you for a minute. And this is probably the scripture that we're going to transition into. And I'm sure you all have heard it before, but I want you to hear it again. You know, there's a danger of knowing scripture. And that's, you kind of don't really see its power anymore. That's why you read scripture over and over and over again. Because like familiarity breeds contempt, you know? You know, you get familiar with the Bible and it doesn't seem as powerful. But it's good to keep reading. Okay, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Whose fiery darts? You know, those darts are the things that he shoots at you that penetrate you and begin to build strongholds in you. All right? Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You know, this is really a very encouraging scripture. Okay, it shows you you got the power. There it is. When you need the power, you need to pick up the power, right? But even though this is a very encouraging scripture, there's a catch. Okay, there's a catch. You want to know what the catch is? Verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. So it's saying to Serena, take up the whole armor of God. Saying to Ron, take up the whole armor of God. He's saying to each person, you have to pick it up. Amen? You've got to pick it up so that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all the stand. The catch is this. We have to put the armor on. We have talked about this so many times, but we have to put it on. I can't put it on for you. All right? Amen? Amen? Your spouse can't put it on for you. Your children can't put it on for you. You can't put it on your children. We have to put it on ourselves. Only by putting on the whole armor, say, the whole armor. Only by putting on the whole armor of God can we effectively stand against the devil's strategies and destroy any of his strongholds that he has built in our lives. Only, say only. Only by doing that. By putting on the whole armor. Acts 10:38 says this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were, what? Oppressed. By who? By the devil. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You got to please note the word oppressed, okay, in this passage. And this is a crazy, did you put that word up there? Or didn't I have you put that word up there? That's true, okay. The word. It's the Greek word, kateradnoustio. My wife told me I sounded like Joe Biden last time I tried to. You see what I put up with? But it's a compound word, all right? I don't need any more jokes like that, okay? It's a compound word of the word kata and dunestes, okay? The word kata carries the idea of domination. The word dunestes depicts a dominating tyrant. When these two words are compounded to form this other word, it pictures a wicked tyrant who rules over and dominates his subjects. This word can also be translated, as bullying, all right? And as cruelty, as despotism, as dictatorship, or oppressiveness and tyranny. So who is the tyrant referred to in this verse? Come on. Thank you. It's the devil. It's the devil. This is what the devil is, okay? And it's the Greek word diabolos. And we've gone through this before, but I want you to be freshened on this. It's the compound of the word dia, which carries the idea of being penetrated from one side all the way to the other side. Man, there are times when the enemy attacks when it just feels like that too, all right? And the word balos, which means to strike and strike repeatedly over and over, is the last half of it. Diabolos, or the devil, is a picture of one who repetitiously strikes and strikes and strikes until successfully penetrating an object to ruin it, affect it, or to take it captive. Now, doesn't that feel like when the enemy wants you to believe something and it keeps going over in your head and going over in your head? God doesn't care about me. God answers other people's prayers. I've been praying for 3 years. He hasn't answered my prayer. They prayed one time and they got healed. What's wrong? Come on. Over and over and over again. That word can also mean to slander or to accuse, to defame or to penetrate by continuous assault, which is what we just talked about, or to ensnare with a net. If you really think about it, the word diablos is more of a devil's job description than it is his name. It tells us that when he strikes the mind and emotions, he doesn't strike just once. He strikes again and again and again, attacking the mind and attacking the emotions from every possible angle in order to ensnare it and penetrate it and ultimately ruin it. So from what we just learned, the devil is a dominating, wicked tyrant who rules over his subject. He bullies them. He's a dictator. He's oppressive. And there's one other thing. He's a liar. He's a liar. And if we believe those lies, we give those lies power. Because our faith, now hear this please, our faith always empowers what we believe. It's true. Our faith always empowers what we believe. I choose to believe that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I am not going to believe that he's going to get the upper hand. Okay? And I am not the stupidest man on earth. I can do quite a few things. Amen? And I am not going to receive that from the enemy, because what I believe in will empower. It'll happen. I want you to understand that I'm not going somewhere out in East Jesus here. Okay? Our faith always empowers what we believe. But we don't have to succumb, and we don't have to submit to the enemy's attacks. And I might just stop there. Are you really wanting to know what comes next? You'll have to come next week. I'm not sure if we're going to stream next week, so you'll probably have to be here. No, we will. We will. I don't want to walk around, and I don't want you to walk around with a bunch of strongholds in your mind that keeps you from believing all that God has said in his word. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? Yeah. If this says that you are something, you are. Because God's the one who's saying it. Amen? Amen? God is the one who's saying it. And just please keep in mind all these different things that the enemy will come to do with you and come to do with attacking you. You don't have to take it. Amen? You don't have to take it. Because God has given us weapons, and we'll talk about that coming up. Why don't you bow your heads? Thank you, Lord. I want you to stand with me just a moment. I'm just going to ask you a simple question. How many of you are tired of the lies of the enemy? How many of you are sick and tired of hearing the same thing over and over and over again? And then there's some of us who have succumbed to the idea that his self-image-ruining lies have become our self-talk. It isn't him that's saying, you're stupid. It's you that's saying, I'm stupid. That in itself is a stronghold. Amen? Bow your heads. If you believe there could be some strongholds in your life, I want you to know something. That doesn't make you any less of a Christian than the next person. It's just, we need to acknowledge what's going on in our lives so we can get our lives right. Are you with me? But if you're sick of hearing that same accusation, if you're sick of falling to that same old thing, then I want you to raise your hand. Amen. Yeah, amen. And then I'm just going to write there. Why don't you come forward and I'll pray for you. Again, please, you got to know that it does not make you a bad Christian. It probably, in fact, makes you quite a Christian, because you know what? The enemy doesn't fight when there isn't anything to fight against. He fights when there's something at stake. In the men's Bible study, we're doing a Tony Evans Bible study, but in that Bible study, Tony Evans said something that was really, really just, it just hits you, you know. And he said, I want to be the type of person that when I get up in the morning and my feet hit the ground, the devil says, oh no, he's up. Oh no, he's up. Well, God, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray that those that have come forward here, God, would be the type of people that the devil would say, uh-oh, they're up. Oh no, they're up. I pray that if there are strongholds within them, Lord God, I pray that they would begin to tear them down. Well, how do we tear them down? You tear them down by your faith in the Word of God. You are who God says you are. You aren't who the enemy says you are. So, Father, right now, and you are able to speak to the hearts of these people. You're able. I pray that you would speak to them and let them know that the thing that they've been struggling with, it's going to be torn down. It's going to be torn down in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you that as dangerous as the devil seems, we have a more dangerous God. As dangerous as he seems to our soul, God, that when we submit to you and to your word, God, you bring us through to the victory. Praise the Lord. And I pray that you would just bring some sense of victory to those that feel like they have tried so hard, gone so far, been through so much. Bring a sense of victory, God. In Jesus' name. Tear down every stronghold. Show them any stronghold that they need to work on. Well, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted. No. And everybody shouted.
Amen.
That's better. Amen. Amen. Yeah, give the Lord some praise this morning. Give him some praise this morning.